Hello and welcome to the Treehouse Letter, where we're always learning with a bit of fun. I am Mylin Shatton, your host and producer. And today's podcast is How to Improve Your Writing, Part 2, From Confucius to Lincoln. I sat down with an English textbook to study the writing guidance. I am sharing its 5 lessons to improve writing. They go beyond the rudiments of grammar and mechanics, which are capitalization and punctuation, good content, and logical organization. It's the final book in the curriculum, so publishers assume readers know the essentials. The first lesson discusses originality. If you haven't listened to my letter on originality, I encourage you to do so. It is an earlier episode. The examples I use span centuries, yet illustrate fresh, colorful language. Now, this is the second of 5 treehouse letters on how you can improve writing. The second element of good writing is the use of exact words. Now, informal writing abounds on social media, in texts, email, sadly, even in handwritten cards. And it's loaded with, I will say what you have undoubtedly observed, trash words. Trash words. That's what I call them. When everything is awesome and beautiful and totally or actually, you know, literally epic, then nothing is. Such words may be suitable at the Java House with Jack. They are not appropriate for writing in a college essay or a business memorandum or the treehouse letter. It's easy to be generic. It's hard to be specific. The textbook focuses on 5 elements, and its aim is to make your writing effective. Now, effective means the type of writing people want to read. Here are the 5 elements. 1, originality from my last letter. 2, exact words, the topic of this letter. 3 will be active voice. 4, figurative language. And 5, triplets, as in a set of phrases. Part 2, exact words. The purpose. Using exact words makes writing sharp and clear rather than vague and fuzzy. The text is the English book my children use during a year of travel. A few reviewers found it drab, colorless, and boring, which is understandable, though only in part. Here's an excerpt. Why write, quote, the noise of the old tractor, unquote, when the putt-putt of the old John Deere describes the scene exactly. Look at your verbs. Do they state specifically what the subject does or is? Why write, mother put more flour into the bread dough, when mother kneaded more flour into the bread dough, tells precisely what she did. Now that's from the lesson on improving your writing style with exact words. Look, tractors and bread making seem dated when compared to modern or urban living. As for me, I don't mind drab or boring when the lesson achieves its end. Indeed, I prefer it. Now, this chart contrasts vague words such as things, get and got, make and made, with exact words, and I will share a couple of them. Vague. A huge animal was eating some little things. Exact. The elephant was eating some peanuts. Vague. I got the $5 from mowing that lawn. Exact. I earned $5 from mowing that lawn. Vague. Our team made 10 points. Exact. Our team scored 10 points. So, what do plain English stylists like Strunk and White think of exact words? Turns out, the rule from the elements of style is one of the guide's elementary principles of composition. And it uses 3 words to define the word exact. Rule number 16, use definite, specific, concrete language. Now here are examples from Strunk and White. A period of unfavorable weather set in. Versus, it rained every day for a week. The other example, he showed satisfaction as he took possession of his well-earned reward. versus he grinned as he pocketed the coin. Now, one of the things I wanted to discuss is le mot juste. Now, Gustave Flaubert coined the French term mot juste, which is spelled M-O-T-J-U-S-T-E. And it refers to the word or phrase that is exactly right in a particular situation. Now, writers struggle with the mot juste, and John McPhee wrote, and I believe it was him, that he would leave a mark on the page with a filler word and just continue to write. The note was a reminder to later flesh it out. Now, such endeavors require a search and take time. So what I wanted to do was check out words in passages from my recent reading, beginning with Confucius and ending with Lincoln. So here they are with my comments. Number one, he that is really good can never be unhappy. He that is really wise can never be perplexed. He that is really brave is never afraid. Confucius, who lived 551 to 479 BC, Book 9, 28. Now, this is a translation by Arthur Whaley. The three words are specific traits Confucius has observed over a long life. The order is intentional, and good has a capital G because it is primary. Now, Whaley annotates this verse. Here it is. Goodness, wisdom, and courage are the three ways of the true gentleman. Confucius always ranks courage below wisdom and wisdom below goodness. Quote 2. Kurt smashed the body of his guitar into the security guard's head, tearing open his flesh, drawing streams of blood that immediately started pouring down his sinister mohawk. Dave Grohl, the storyteller, Tales of Life and Music. Now, this is nearly antithetical in topic to the last quote. The words are so vivid, I wince when I read it. The verb smash, the tearing open the streams of blood, and that modifier, sinister, describe the stage and the horror that awaits them in a chapter titled, We Were Surrounded and There Was No Way Out. Nirvana and Kurt Cobain return to finish the set, the stage still wet with blood. They will have to contend with Mr. Mohawk. And he uses the word Mohawk with a capital M. Number three, and this is a spoiler alert if you want to skip this 30 seconds. He carried on to a small lighted chapel where he found more than a dozen young women and girls down on their hands and knees with tins of old-fashioned lavender polish and rags, polishing their hearts out in circles on the floor. Small Things Like These by Claire Keegan. The title has the word things, which is a vague word, but the author uses mystery to create tension. What things? You can smell the polish and see the girls in the dimly lit chapel, and my own heart hurts when I see what the protagonist, quote, didn't like to believe only moments before he stumbles onto the scene. The Orwell Prize-winning author exposes the Magdalene laundries of the 1980s. And four, the last passage. Theirs was the task, and nobly they performed it, to possess themselves, and through themselves us, of this goodly land, and to uprear upon its hills and its valleys a political edifice of liberty and equal rights. 'Tis ours only to transmit these, the former unprofaned by the foot of an invader, the latter undecayed by the lapse of time and untorn by usurpation, to the latest generation that fate shall permit the world to know. Abraham Lincoln's address before the Young Men's Lyceum of Springfield, Illinois, January 27, 1838. Now that is one sentence. Now scholars believe that the foundational ideas in the Gettysburg Address arose from this speech 25 years earlier. What is evident is Lincoln's rhetoric, a goodly land with its hills and valleys, and the edifice of liberty and equal rights. Using persuasive writing with carefully thought out words, he envisions our nation, our home, and the edifice we have built to secure liberties and equal rights, not just for his generation, but for the future, one untorn by the invader or usurper. And what modifiers he chooses, unprofaned by the foot of the invader for the land, and undecayed for the edifice. Lincoln has such reverence for the reader's understanding and intelligence to hold on to these as he progresses. So those four passages, these writers use exact words. The sentences as examples are instructive because we can analyze the vocabulary and the order of words, contrasting them with words not used. An effective style takes years of effort to be effortless. Yet exact words begin when you pay attention to your writing and revise. It is common for me to have 10 to 20 or more revisions per letter. Is this my best? No, but is it good? Good enough? Maybe. Be honest about your writing. Does it have trash words and vague, fuzzy modifiers and verbs? Last, improve writing immediately. What is it you want to say? If you know the structure and outline's helpful, start simple and draft main ideas. In creative writing, when you have little to no structural requirements, begin by shoveling the shit from your head to the page. Dictate it to your phone, then send it to yourself. A topic, a kernel, even a prompt you devise are starting points. ChatGPT or AI may be useful, but beware. Such answers are easy to spot because they draw on existing sources. So be you. There's no one else like you. Find your content and organize in a logical arrangement, then write. When you write the first draft, write long. Set it aside for an hour a day. Then read it to find out what it is you care about and wish to focus the piece on. Plan for three drafts, first, second, and final. And use exact words. During revision, make sure to cut cliches, vague words, and trash words. Use definite, specific, concrete words. Be original. And slow down to figure out what it is exactly you want to say. Then rewrite, rewrite, rewrite. And that writing will be worth reading. That's the end of this podcast. In the footnotes, if you visit treehouseletter.com, I'll have information on links, Orwell's six rules of writing, the fact that I like to break rules all the time, and links to the style guides as well as the passages and the books. As always, thank you for listening.